Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, you know, Tom Giordano's show, one of the biggest issues out there, and we have the guy, I think, I've been following him on Twitter the last week or so, knowing we might have him on at some point, who has written a book. It'll be out not until August, but still, he's written all over the place. He was on Fox and Friends this weekend. The title of the book is Woke Inc., Woke Incorporated. What is it that's going on? How much power that is that? I mean, I'm looking on Twitter. He says, what is next? Alt-baseball? Remember that, the alt-right? Alt-baseball? And he makes the point, the government using the private sector to accomplish what it cannot do under the Constitution. Okay? So Vivek Ramaswamy is with us here on Talk Radio 1210 on the Dom Giordano program. Help me out with the pronunciation. We tried our best. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it pretty good. Vivek Ramaswamy. That's
Vivek.
Right.
Vivek, I followed you, but I never followed you on Twitter. Oh, my God, what I was missing. And it kind of encapsulates a lot, I think, of what you have in Woke Incorporated. How long were you working on this book? Was it prior to this recent surge? Did this trigger it a little bit more?
Well, the interesting part is I'm not a journalist reporting on my findings. I'm actually a science guy. I had been a scientist before. I founded a biotech company. I led the company for 7 years as CEO. I had been an investor before that. So I've come from more from the business world. And for me, this has been the accumulation of what I have seen unfolding in the business world over the last decade. Since the 2008 financial crisis, and by the way, that was right when I started my career as an investor, things began to change because capitalism came under attack after 2008. And there was this jujitsu style move. And I was right in the middle of it, where big business began to instead start criticizing itself at first and then get into this marriage with woke culture that allowed it to deflect criticism while making more profit for itself. And I had seen this with a front row seat in the business world myself, that starting about last year in February 2020, I wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal calling some of this corporate hypocrisy out. And after that, the floodgates have just opened. So an agent approached me, said, you have to write a book about this. I said, all right. And that's what resulted in Woke Inc.
Now, I wish you weren't working the day job and it would be out today, though. I got to get my hands on the book before August. Is that when it drops?
Well, you can pre-order it now. You can pre-order it now. It just went up about a week ago.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to work behind the scenes to get, you know, a review copy or something. It's a beach reading to me. I love this stuff and the insight. You just hit my first touch point here. They'll throw other people under the bus to keep the mob off them. That seemed to be some of the mantra. Some of them, though, I think, like Nike, for example, was doing this as a business practice, not as a deflection practice. And maybe for their audience. Yeah, maybe for their audience, that reaches them. I get that. The one you made a great point on, though, is Major League Baseball, for example, which is supposed to be unifying and pretty much was. And I love the line, what's next? Alt baseball.
Well, you know what? This is why I'm bothering to write a book about this stuff. If it was just a scam, and believe me, this stuff is a scam, I wouldn't bother writing a book about it. I'd call it out. But the reason I'm writing a book about it is that this is actually posing a threat to democracy itself. And it does it in three ways. And I'll kind of go through each of them in turn. The first of them is that, look, this applies what I call the Goldman rule, named after Goldman Sachs, which is not the golden rule. It's the Goldman rule, which is that the guys who have the gold get to make the rules. That's Coca-Cola. That's Delta. You see that if you have corporate power, now you have not only market power, but you have social and political power too. And the America that I was taught to grow up in is one where everyone gets one vote that counts equally, not where somebody's votes get adjusted up by the number of dollars they control in the marketplace. Yeah. And that's the way these woke corporations are behaving today.
These are kind of like the Electoral College, right? That's what the corporate America has become.
Has become the new Electoral College. Absolutely. You listen to some of the statements of Coca-Cola, it sounds more like a super PAC than a soft drink manufacturer. And you know what? Liberals used to hate this. Liberals hated Citizens United because they said it allowed corporations to influence elections. What we are seeing today in Georgia and elsewhere is Citizens United on steroids. So that's bad enough for democracy. But Don, I think the point that really bothered me, and you hit the nail on the head in bringing this back with MLB, is that democracy isn't just about casting some ballot every November. It's about preserving democratic norms in everyday life. And part of that is actually preserving apolitical spaces where we can all come together irrespective of our politics. And every baseball stadium in the country used to be one of those places where whether you're Republican or Democrat or black or white, it didn't matter. You came, you root for the home team, you root for the away team, you come for your love of baseball. That's part of what holds us together as a society. But now when partisan politics is infecting every sphere of our lives, from the soft drinks we drink to the sneakers we wear to the baseball games we watch, that's actually going to tear us apart at the very fabric of our country that holds us together. And that's really what has me worried for democracy, not just for companies, but for the integrity of American democracy itself. And that's what woke capitalism is ultimately doing. It's tearing us apart at the very fabric of what holds us together as a country.
And you make the point, too, I'm not sure if this was on Twitter or something I read, using government, using the private sector to accomplish what it cannot do under the Constitution. So what do you say to that point when I hear these people calling, say, with the Dr. Seuss thing, and they'll say, hey, look, it was only one place in Virginia that kicked Dr. Seuss out. This is a corporation making a decision. Don't you conservatives, don't you libertarians allow business to do whatever they want?
Well, I'll tell you this. I do believe in the free market when it is actually a free market. But the thing we're seeing today is something different. Let's take the big tech censorship examples, all right? When Twitter and Facebook go out and censor conservatives, censor just one side of the political spectrum, what exactly are they doing? You listen to these hearings that they hold in Washington, D.C., and they call them in front of Congress, and they say, hey, the Democratic side will say, hey, if you don't go out and control misinformation, if you don't go out and pull down hate speech, we're going to come after you. We're going to make it swift. We're going to break you up. Well, guess what these companies then go out and do? They go out and do what their congressional overlords on the left told them to do. By the way, precisely, why did all of this start in early January to a new level? Because you have Democratic control of the House, Senate, and White House. These companies go and do their bidding. Now, why do they do their bidding? Because Congress can't censor political speech directly. We have something called the First Amendment in this country. Well, the conventional mantra goes that these are private companies and they're not bound by the First Amendment. I say that's wrong when the private companies are really just acting as state actors in the disguise of private enterprise. And by the way, to top it off with the cherry on top, it's not just that stick. There's also the carrot of Section 230 liability protection, which says that if you actually go do censor this content and you're an internet company, internet service provider in Silicon Valley, you don't even face immunity for state lawsuits for doing so. So that's an example of the government that has turned these companies into a pawn, delegating their dirty work to the private sector and then saying the Constitution doesn't apply. No, no, no. I lay out a lot of the legal arguments in Woke Inc. to say that absolutely the government cannot delegate dirty work to the private sector that it cannot do directly. These private companies ought to be bound by the Constitution so long as they're doing the bidding of big government. And that is the secret sauce today for conservatives. Is it's not 1980 anymore, where Ronald Reagan might have correctly at the time said big government was the sole enemy. Today it is this new hybrid of big government and big business, what I call the woke industrial complex, and we need to call it out for what it is and fight it.
Is there some of it, is it all just transactional here, or is it also you have any number of people that their personal ideologies being expressed in this way by who they're going after and who they're boycotting and what they're engaged in?
So it's a great question, Donna. And I think that there's two sides to it. First, there's the scammy kind. Wall Street is what I mostly put in this category, right? Being able to wear the new facade of progressivism as a way of effectively making another buck in a secret way and sometimes cutting up to liberal government as a way of avoiding regulation. That's the scammy kind of woke capitalism. It irritates the heck out of me. That being said, the only thing scarier than the scammy kind of woke capitalism is the authentic kind. Take Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, these guys in Silicon Valley. These guys don't need another buck. They have more money than God.
Yes.
They have so much money that actually the thing that they're missing is the ability to implement their views for America by sidestepping American democracy. And Jack Dorsey, I think he authentically believes it. I think he is an authentic Marxist. And in a certain sense, as an individual, maybe I respect him more for that, in that he's not just a scammy guy out to make another buck. but the implications for American democracy are a heck of a lot scarier, because constitutional constraints and term limits don't apply to these guys, yet they are already wielding state-like power with the protection of the state, with statutes like Section 230 aiding and abetting their heist. So it's a different animal.
You know, Coca-Cola, people hear that, it's a giant, but they don't have the public discourse that these others do. This is a different thing that we've pretty much never seen before. Now, I think you said this on Twitter, too, in regard to reparations and a bunch of other things, and I kind of liked it so much, I may have stolen the line occasionally here. We have to stop looking in the rearview mirror so much, or we're going to crash as a society.
Absolutely. So our obsession with all of the ways we have fallen short of our ideals has made us forget what our ideals are actually all about in the first place. And I think that if we keep picking these old scabs, we're going to really bleed the unity out of this country. And what I actually think is we ought to revive the shared ideals that hold us together. We have spent a decade celebrating our diversity and our differences that we have forgotten all of the ways in which we're actually the same. And the beautiful thing about America is that we're not a place defined on a monarch or a religion or a single language. We are a place defined exclusively on the basis of a set of ideals enshrined in our Constitution, and that's a good thing. But the flip side of that is when you're a place defined on the basis just of ideas, the way you describe America actually affects the way that America works in real life. And that's the thing that people miss, is with this culture of wokeness, what happened is we have this idea of the American dream. It's called a dream because we aspire to it, not because it's a final end state that we reached. We constantly aspire to it. What wokeness did is we woke up from the American dream. And the problem with the dream is once you wake up from it, you forget what it was all about. And I think it's the job of us right now, where we still remember what that dream felt like, to revive it before the woke industrial complex kills it for good.
Boy, do you just make this stuff up on the spot, or are you thinking about this in advance? I love the way you wove that together.
Well, this is on the spot, but I got to tell you, I've been spending the last year and a half thinking about this and writing the book anyway. So you definitely did deeply,
and it's a lot of points that triggered stuff in me to think more deeply about this. So the big question, though, in the book, do you address what are some of the practical steps? What can be done reviving the American dream? I mean, what has to be done, I guess, with the tech companies? It's reining them in. It's changing the guidelines they work under now. Would you agree to that one?
Well, I would. So I think that there's a couple categories, though, and you got to be specific, because the worst thing we could do is actually use state power to further codify the status of these monopolists. And today, while I used to be in favor of repealing Section 230, as I've studied this issue more, I've actually come around to thinking that's the wrong way to go. What we need to do is amend Section 230 to say that if you get federal government protection and special forms of immunity, then you are bound by the same constraints as the federal government itself, most importantly, bound by the First Amendment. There's another simple legal fix. I'd say that if you look at the Civil Rights Act in 1964, it says you can't discriminate on the basis of religion or national origin or sex, or today based on Bostock last year, sexual orientation or race. Well, I say if you can't discriminate on those attributes, then nor should you as a corporation be able to discriminate on the basis of political belief. And believe me, Dom, that is happening every day, day in and day out across corporate America, where basically conservatives face the choice of either being able to speak their mind or to be able to keep their jobs, but they cannot do both. And I don't think that's America. That's a distortion of it. I think that we ought to amend the Civil Rights Act. It's a really simple fix by saying right up there with religious belief, you can't be discriminated upon on the basis of your political beliefs either. That being said, right, and I go through other legal solutions in the book too, but these legal solutions, at the end of the day, these are just symptomatic. These are symptomatic therapies that hopefully catalyze what we really need, which is actually a cultural counter-revolution. And that's actually going to be much harder but more important work. And the way I think about it is rebuilding this idea of a shared American identity that is so deep and so powerful that it dilutes this wokeism to irrelevance. And I personally think it is the hardest and most important work we'll ever do as Americans. And that's not going to come through the passage of a statute. That's going to come from bottom-up work that each of us has to do as citizens.
Brilliantly put. Can hardly wait for the book to be out. So where do we go? Woke Inc. What's the best way to pre-order?
You can get it on any of the major websites. And as of today, that includes Amazon. So you can get it from wherever
you
like. You
said that as of today. Wait a minute. How did you slide that past them? I'm kind of surprised.
Well, you know, it's a book that actually you'll get a kick out of the cover. So I won't spoil it for you when you go look it up. But you get a kick out of the cover because it tells the story in a picture. But I think that any thoughtful liberal ought to be every bit as concerned about the problem that I lay out in this book as thoughtful conservatives. And liberals and conservatives, we may disagree on particular public policies, right, or what we think about distribution, but the rise of this woke industrial complex is every bit as a threat to every American, irrespective of their political affiliation. And I think that that's an important part of this book, too, is I think conservatives may find it more appealing on the face, but this isn't just about reviving what it means to be a conservative. It's about reviving what it means to be an American.
That's well put. I put it as a litmus test for the good liberals out there versus those that are progressive to the extreme and or just want to get their own way. I don't even know what the philosophy is. That is a great point, and I hope you get a lot of response on that. Well, August is a long way off, though. Definitely, we'd love to have you come back again, and we can hardly wait for the book.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.